Many millions of years ago, on the planet Cybertron, life existed. But not life as we know it today. Intelligent robots that could think and feel inhabited the cities. They were called Autobots and Decepticons. But the brutal Decepticons were driven by a single goal, total domination. They set out to destroy the peace-loving Autobots, and a war between the forces of good and evil raged across Cybertron, devastating all in its path.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby here. On the show this week, we have the news from Earth, the news from Cybertron, the ATT Buzz, review of G1 Scorponok by Turin. We also have Ask RFC, my brain's going out there. Also, Goldimus Prime has a review of Gecko Bot. And I play a little game where I try to review as many toys in 5 minutes as possible. Yep. And also we have Rat Trap 007's Impossible Trivia. And if I said I was going to do anything else last week, I don't remember. I've been so incredibly busy this week, inundated with work, the tech field, as far as, you know, I'm concerned, is quite hectic. It's not like I'm working at Apple back in 84 when, you know, they're producing Macintosh and everything. I'm still pretty busy. You know, just HTMLing can be a pain if you're the only person doing it. Oh well, I digress. Coming up in the show at the moment is the news.
News from Earth.
In the news this week, Convoy, or Optimus Prime, whichever you'd rather call him, has been re-released. The toy is available. If you're one of the six people across the globe that doesn't have an original Convoy or his G2 counterpart, you can import one from Japan or get one at one of the various importers. Notable differences in the toy is that the box has no flap and that roller is silver. Also, which this is the last thing in the news since I have basically nothing this week, I heard something about the new Rhino Transformers episodes being released, volumes 7 through 9, but I've yet to see them, so I don't know.
News from Cybertron.
After a recent press conference, an RFC correspondent asked Ultra Magnus, Optimus Prime's running mate, why voters should support the Autobot ticket rather than the Decepticons. This is what he had to say.
Why vote for them? They're evil. It says so on their packaging. I'd wager that if they won the election, every man, woman, and child in this nation will become mindless slaves unto them. What? How's that different from any other administration? Well, you've got me there.
Months ago, in an early RFC, Turin interviewed Optimus Prime. Last week, he and I met up to talk about the future. I'm sorry for the poor sound quality, but this was recorded under heavy radio interference. Decepticon activity was intense. It's amazing that I survived it all, but you know. Optimus, some people say that you're the greatest Autobot leader ever, but you've been unable to suppress the Decepticon onslaught that's plagued humanity for almost two decades. How do you answer that?
I am Optimus Prime!
And don't forget to listen for the next installment of this important 73-part interview. Here's a preview of next week. Optimus, I have something for you to hear. It's a personal message to you from Megatron. It's disturbing, but you must hear it. Optimus, how does that, something as horrific as that, how does that make you feel? Well, sometimes silence says the most. And that's it for the news this week. coming up next on Radio Free Cybertron is John DeLuna and the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and this was some week. Nothing like a good, cat fight to get the news group going. But this cat fight wasn't the good kind. Now, not the cool kind that you see on late night Cinemax. It was the ugly kind of cat fight. The kind that nobody likes to see between trans fans. It seems that Spooky, the guy who gets new Transformers like 3 years before anybody else, needs a new place to post his pictures on the internet. And two groups, AllSpark and BigBot.com, are fighting over the honor of posting Spooky pics. Not a big deal at first glance, but these two guys have real issues. In fact, AllSpark was created because of BigBot.com and its, how shall we say, interesting tactics. Now, I don't know who's right or who's wrong in this affair, but AllSpark has accused BigBot.com and its webmaster and owner of a lot of not-so-great things, and mainly on ATT. And BigBot has had more than enough time, really ample time to respond, but they really haven't. And no one has really defended them for some of the things that they've been accused of. So take that for what it's worth. My solution to all this would be let Spooky find a third option, and let's move on. Please. Other than that nasty little fight on ATT, there was also a flood of movie questions this week, mostly about Galvatron and Unicron. I'm not getting into that Unicron thing. Let me just say this. Unicron versus the Death Star, that crap shall never die. And as for Galvatron, it seems there's a big difference in opinion about just how strong he was, which is understandable. I mean, in the comic, he was a god. And in the cartoon, he was a freaking nut job. And in the movie, he was somewhere in the middle with Spock's voice. The real argument is whether he could take Optimus Prime in a fight. And like I said, there's so many different ways that Galvatron was written, who knows? Now as far as the movie goes, I personally doubt he could take Prime. I mean, look at it this way. Megatron and Prime fought to a virtual tie, okay? And Megatron easily overpowered Hot Rod when he tried to, you know what. Not only did Megs overpower Hot Rod with one hand, he was almost crippled when he did it. Now, fast forward to the great battle inside Unicron's small intestine, and Galvatron, fully powered, struggled with Hot Rod, and then he got pounded by Rodimus. So, I can't see where movie Galvatron could hold up to Prime, but I can see Mr. Galvatron as president. What a guy. And that Cyclonus would be a great VP. I mean, could it be any worse than what we have right now? I think not. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
The United States was built through conquest. The Indians, the English, the Mexicans. What was once theirs is now ours. Are you going to be the one to let it slip away? Freedom is built on the ashes of our enemies. Aren't you tired of wishy-washy, bleeding-heart politicians who won't say boo to the special interest groups, but instead just run this nation into the ground? We need a strong leader, a fearless leader. One who isn't restricted by conscience or rationality, but who will do what needs to be done for the glory of the U.S. of A. Galvatron for president in the year 2000. First the U.S., then the world. Paid for by several people threatened with death.
Ah, perfect chance to play the Decepticon thing there. Coming up next on Radio Free Cybertron is Terran with the review of Scorponok, but first I want to mention a few things. I want to get around to it. A friend of mine, it was Jay Dale, pretty sure. It's been a while since I got it, and I've been so busy this week. I'm pretty sure it was Jay Dale told me that I was being too cynical with the Car Robots review, saying that Episode 2 was just like Episode 1. And, in fact, Episode 3, I don't believe, was a retrospective, so... But, yeah, I agree. I just don't like the show. I don't want it here. They can bring the toys here if they want, but I don't want the show here. I mean, why? It's rushed. Something they rushed and threw together before they got Beast Machines. It's the truth. I mean, so what if they bring back Cars? I mean, I would rather have Hasbro, you know, doing something very similar, bringing back Cars. Or even if they want to build something around the toys, like they did with G1. But I want something of higher quality than what, you know, Car Robots the cartoon is. The toys are nice, of course. They're not, you know, I really like Gigatron. Superfire Convoy is nice. But, yeah. As far as the toy reviews go, we've had a few of them. We'll try to get more in. Might do the Spy Changers, I don't know. But Goldimus Prime is taking over the episode reviews because he can stomach them. I can't. Also, I forgot to mention, on the site we have an article by Carl Vollmer, friend of mine, Marvel Prime, www.geocities.com/MarvelTF, in case you don't know, Marvel Universe Transformed Editor-in-Chief. It's on how to start a fan fiction group. Very interesting. If I was to start a fan fiction group, I'd follow this to a T. And also, we had a review of The Trans Metals Game by AlexJ33106. Well, as stated earlier, coming up right now is Turin with the review of Scorponok.
Yo, this is Turin with the review, by special request, of Generation 1 Scorponok. This toy is huge. I mean, it's really big. I think there's some Japanese exclusive toys that may be larger, I really don't know, but as far as U.S. toys, this is the largest of all, second only to Fortress Maximus. Scorponok was featured prominently in the Transformers comic book and appeared in the final episode of the G1 cartoon Rebirth, which you can actually order from videoflix.com if you want to see it. Anyway, Scorponok has three modes. He's a triple changer, like most of the other large city transformers. Robot, defense base, and scorpion, hence the name. His colors are green, purple, orange, and gray. Well, let's take a look at the scorpion mode first. It's about 24 inches long, from claw to tail. But basically, nothing is poseable. It's a big old brick. Now, true, the arms move a bit, and the tail moves a bit, but that's it. The tail can't strike anything because the rest of the body gets in the way. But, on the other hand, the tail does look a lot like a laser gun, and I'm sure it was intended to be used as such, so that part's all right. And the scorpion claws, they can open and close quite nicely. They have very strong ratchet motion, so they can grasp things very well. Now, in scorpion mode, there's a gimmick where if you roll Scorponok along the ground, his eight legs will move up and down. It's really, really lame, though, I have to tell you. The eight legs are all right next to each other, and they basically just hang there for decoration. They don't actually do anything. But of course, if they weren't there, he wouldn't be a scorpion, I guess. In scorpion mode, there's sort of a cockpit for Zarak, Scorponok's Nebulan headmaster partner, to ride and presumably control him. This part, it's kind of neat. The best part, though, is that it's big. I mean, it's big, with big claws, and it has four double turret cannons that you can stick on. So I have to give the scorpion mode a rating of decent. The defense base mode is next, and this is the nice big mode. This is the really large mode, and it has all... This is the nice thing about G1 toys, is that while some of the molding may be kind of plain, they have little accessories all over the place. I mean, that, at least when I was a kid, that was always the best part, was all the little accessories that you can stick on and take off and everything. That's why Bruticus is my favorite of the Gestalts, because in Super Robot mode, you can fit every single part, except the ramp, onto him in robot mode. I mean, he's armed to the teeth. Same thing with Metroplex. You can stick all of his guns and everything on in base mode or robot mode or whatever, so that he's just huge. So the defense base has a lot of little extras, little gimmicky kind of things that make it pretty neat. There's a little elevator. There's little diagnostic arms or mechanical repair arms. There's four different radar dishes, all different. Two big towers, a main control area, and there's a really big ramp off the front, and there's two little ramps off each side. His gun and his gun guard become additional towers, and it looks really nice. The only problem is there's virtually no play value. Unlike Metroplex, for example, no other Transformers will actually fit on the defense base. There's no place for them to stand. The ramps are so steep that the vehicles can only slide down. They can't sit on or above the ramp. You can find a place for Zarak to stand, but that's about it. Contrast this with Metroplex, for example, who had four repair bays, a helipad, and an extra place in his chest for a mini-vehicle. I'm using Metroplex for comparison because it's the only other city Transformer I currently own. Metroplex is also much more heavily armed than Scorponok, which may surprise you if you saw Rebirth, where Scorponok is supposed to be this huge unstoppable battle station. You can fit two of Scorpy's double turret guns on him in base mode, but they only fit way in the back, facing the back, so they're really useless. And that's all the weaponry he has in base mode. Unless you count his gun turret as being an actual gun, in which case I suppose it could fire straight up. But that's it. Why they called it a defense base, I have no idea. A repair base, maybe. But it looks pretty defenseless, if you ask me. On the other hand, the base is nearly 2 feet wide, and a foot and a half from front to back. But of course it's mainly in sort of a T section, so a lot of that's empty space. Actually, it's more of a cross. It's more like a plus sign, you know. But it's still a lot of it's empty space. It's not square or anything. But it takes up a lot of room to display it in this mode. And while other Transformers can't get on the base, they can stand around it, and it actually does look pretty cool if you have the space to display something that large. Moving on to the robot mode, this is easily the most impressive of the three modes. He's 13 inches tall, towers above Optimal Optimus by a good, you know, 3 or 4 inches. A very sturdy and powerful looking robot. Huge monster claws, doesn't actually have hands, but has big old claws. He has a gun that's larger than many Transformers are, and he has a huge blast shield on his left arm. Which is a very nice accessory. His scorpion tail can flip over his head in robot mode as sort of an additional gun. His four double cannon turrets fit on his shoulders, but they kind of get in the way sometimes, and they're not that useful in this mode, although you can, the two front ones, you can pose them where they at least look cool. And he's very well proportioned. He has a very large chest and legs and arms, but the major weak spot is in Scorponok's head. Lord Zarak, the Nebulan, transforms into his head, and boy does it look lame. This huge, giant robot has this tiny little white head. Oh, that sounded disgusting. Okay, beige, let's say. That one thing brings the robot mode down, all the way from awesome to merely nice. Sure, it's a huge robot. That goes a long way. But the gimpy little head takes away a lot. It's pretty grim. The claws are very nice, and as I said, the arms have very strong ratchets, so he can pick up most other Transformers. Personally, I display him in robot mode, holding Transmetal 2 Scourge upside down. I hate Transmetal 2 Scourge, the big flop master. Anyway, Zarak, the headmaster partner, well, he's nothing special. Just turns into an unposable little robot into an unposable head. The one interesting thing I didn't even notice until around last month, there's a little panel that flips around to hide Scorponok's face when he's in humanoid mode. Scorponok also comes with Fast Track, a very plain gray and orange robot that turns into a six-wheeled tank. He rolls really well, actually. Not like those little tiny wheels that some of the other mini-bots have. He rolls really well, And he's fairly nice. He has dual pistols, which is kind of neat. All in all, I mean, if you're a big G1 fan with money to burn, I say, hey, go for it. Get Scorponok. He's not the best Transformer ever, but he's big. And for size alone, he's worth having. You know, I mean, it's nice that some of my best and most favorite Transformers are small ones. Some of the Transmetal 2 Basics are some of the best in the line. Some of the small Viacons are really nice. But sometimes you just want to have a giant, huge, gargantuan Transformer standing behind everybody. And Scorponok's the way to go. I'm sure it's a lot easier to get one than it is Fortress Maximus. Although, maybe if they re-release Fortress Maximus in Japan, that might change. But until then, G1 Scorponok is the way to go if you're talking about big Transformers. Altogether, I give him a rating of nice on my scale. That concludes the toy review for this week. I did manage to pick up the Fox Kids repaint of Transmetal Air Razor this week. I haven't taken it out of the package yet. The Beast Mode actually, I think, looks better than the original Transmetal version, but I wasn't crazy about the color scheme on the original, so that's not saying a whole lot. In any case, I guess I'll see you guys later. Bye.
It is a day so long in coming that I am uncertain how to celebrate it. Perhaps a quiet chuckle. Very well then, let us chuckle.
Thanks, Turin. Let me see here. Also, I mentioned car robots a moment ago. If you want to make your views on car robots known, you can do a couple things here. You can vote in our poll, which just click on polls there, or the link that I'll have for the poll, and tell us what you think, if you want car robots brought to America or not. Or you can email me, which I'd rather you not, since I'm lazy. I'll go ahead and email me if you want to. I've gotten a few. But, yeah. And best of all, there is the RFC message board, which has no use whatsoever. I haven't thought of a single reason to use it yet. So, if you want to, go type up your rant on why or why not car robots should be brought to America. Or if you just want the cartoon, or if you want the toys, or whatever. Oh well. Coming up right now, here on Radio Free Cybertron, is Ask RFC with Mott.
Greetings and salutations, one and all. It's time once again for Ask RFCs. The answer is no. The game show that has only one answer for every question. Are we ready to play? Okay. Here's tonight's question from Radio Free Cybertron's dedicated listeners. Can I join RFC? What is your answer?
No.
That is correct! Thank you for playing RFCs. The answer is no. This is your friendly neighborhood mock boy saying,
we're the only white people here.
Hello, this is the computer. Brian has reprogrammed. Thank you. Brian has reprogrammed me so that I'm a much more productive and much less evil computer. I love everyone and everything. If you have a question you want answered, email askrfc@tfradio.com. Thank you. Remember the address. Email askrfc@tfradio.com. It is what is good for you.
So, coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron, thank you, by the way, Mott Boy, that was great. We now have my review, I guess you would say. Here's more on it.
Radio Free Cybertron. Unparalleled. Unmatched. Unpaid. Unfortunately. 0% profit. 100% fun. Radio Free Cybertron.
Okay, let me explain this next segment. In front of me I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, so odd number of Transformers here. Well, one of them's a Gestalt, so we'll say 15 to 20. I'm going to try to review as many of them as I possibly can in 5 minutes. Not a review like I gave Gears, the 3-second thing. I'm going to try to do a competent review. I'm going to see how many I can do in 5 minutes. Tell you who I have. I see Skywarp back there. Trax. Sea Spray. Perceptor. Getaway. Landfill. Minasaur. Six Shot. Beachcomber. Galvatron. Megatron. And Mirage. I believe that's all there is there right now. Wow, this looks tough. Of course, this is also an excuse to pull these things out so that I can A, play with them, and B, have a reason to organize my stuff again. Because my room is a demilitarized zone at the moment. Oh boy, okay. Let's start right now. First toy, Galvatron. He is from the line around the movie. That means he's fairly rushed. Robot mode is rather ugly. Doesn't look much like the movie character. Electronics work and such. Has three different sounds. Five if you go in there between the capacitors inside. Cannon mode's, competent. Not that great. Color scheme, gray and purple. Very similar to what he had in the show, but much more gray than he should be. He has some kibble in the back, his handle. You don't expect that from G1, but as I said, it's rushed. Galvatron gets a 6 out of 10. Next toy, Megatron. Originally a gun from 1974, I believe, in Japan. He is rather gruesome in robot mode, to be honest. As someone said recently, he's one of the few toys whose robot mode is totally useless. His gun mode is almost perfect, though. He looks nice with all his accessories attached, which I don't have time to transform him, but you know how he looks. Robot mode, not much. There's a couple stickers that says, look, I'm a Decepticon. So he's got a Decepticon symbol there. He looks like a robot that turns into a gun. Nothing like he does in the show. For his robot mode, for it being perfect, Megatron gets a 7 out of 10, but his robot mode is hideous. Next toy, Six Shot. Six Shot, every single one of his alt modes is pretty darn lame. Nothing great at all about any of them. His robot mode, though, looks great. He's a nice statue. His arms don't move very well. In robot mode, they're inhibited by the wings on his chest. My least favorite mode is his gun, to be honest, but, as I said, each alt mode is pretty lame, but the fact that there are six modes together, that sort of, gets rid of that. So, he's actually a very nice toy. He's very displayable in robot mode. Very, very displayable. Six Shot, he gets a 8 out of 10. Next toy is Landfill. Small Target Master. What can I say? He's lame. I hate the Small Target Masters. I hate every single one of them except for possibly Quake and Needle Nose. I put Landfill at the bottom. His arm, they don't move. I mean, even for G1, he's not very poseable. he has the posability of many of the mini-bots. Ugly color scheme, tan and brown, nothing attractive about it at all. Robot mode is, you know, and his vehicle mode are equally bad. He gets a 4 out of 10. Next toy, oh, I didn't mention him, Bumblebee. Bumblebee, little mini-bot, original toy. Very nice for a mini original toy. His arms are rather ugly, of course, because they don't look like arms. They're just little things with wheels on them. Nothing great about the toy, but nothing that bad either. One, you probably had him as a kid. For nostalgia value, Bumblebee gets a 6 out of 10. Next toy, Mirage. Mirage has a very competent robot mode. It looks nice. His arms can move. About the same as Landfill, though, but this is a very much earlier toy, so you'd expect, you know, less articulation, but there's actually a little more. His waist moves and such. Incredible vehicle mode, pardon me. The robot mode is basically based around that. Color scheme is nice. Stickers look very attractive on the toy. All in all, Mirage gets a 8 out of 10. Next toy, Beachcomber. Beachcomber is an okay toy, nothing special. As far as mini-bots go, he's one of my least favorites. He has a nice, cute little robot mode, but aside from that, transformation's easy, as you would expect. Head pops in, legs flip around, and you have the robot mode. Beachcomber gets a 7 out of 10. Next toy, Power Master Getaway. He's a brick. Very unposable in robot mode. He's basically what you get from Mirage, but his arms aren't... Well, they're about the same. Vehicle mode is okay, sort of stubby. Car mode is not that great. Getaway gets a 5 out of 10. Next toy, Menasor. As far as Gestalts go, he's a little bit short. His centerpiece is kind of ugly and stubby. What can you say? He's a Gestalt, just like every other Gestalt of the five-part Scramble City type. His head just pops on. That's different than most of the others, but, you know, what do you expect? And, poop. I just hit the 5-minute mark. Oh, well, I couldn't do it. Left to do were, Skywarp, Trax, Perceptor, and Seaspray. So in 5 minutes, I got 9 toys reviewed. That's not bad. You know, this might be a fun game. If anybody else wants to try this, you can email me a clip or not. It's not that big a deal. Might try to do this again. I don't know. I may do it with Beast Wars toys, which, oh, well, I don't know. It was fun, though, for me. A little bit hectic.
Radio Free Cybertron!
Coming up right now, here on Radio Free Cybertron, is Goldimus Prime's review of Gecko Bot.
This week I'm reviewing GeckoBot, the second basic in this part of the either late second or beginning of the third wave, I'm not sure which. Let's see, GeckoBot is, well, according to the package, a lizard. That's highly inaccurate though. This does not match any actual lizard on the planet right now. He does bear some kind of resemblance to a prehistoric frilled lizard. Excuse me if I get the pronunciation wrong. Longus Quama, which that does not even sound right to me. But anyway, he's about 5 or so inches long in beast mode from nose to tail. Tail's pretty long actually, and stands about 2 inches tall. Primary color scheme is dark green. That's actually about the only color on his body. His wings are translucent purple with like flame patterns molded on them, which if you hold him up to a light source, he's real cool looking that way. His gimmick in this mode is his front pair of frills, wings, whatever, scissors forward when you pull the back wings back. Amazingly enough, this actually clears his head, so it's not a self-inflicting attack. Oh, another neat element about this is his spark, which is embedded into his head, makes his beast eyes. This kind of defeats the light channeling effect. The spark material isn't designed to function that way. But if you hold him sidelong to a light source, light comes in one eye and goes out the other. He glows pretty well that way. He's got like maybe 10 points of articulation in this mode. I didn't start to stop the count before I did the review this week. You can't really use much of that articulation. He's a quadruped, so. Transformation kind of involved. There's a lot of specifically swiveling parts of it. He's got a lot of ball joints on his body, so that helps his robot mode posability tremendously. His ankles can go flat against his legs, and anyway, the real robot mode is has very, very long arms, very ugly long arms. His wings are, half of his wings are hanging off of each arm. It's just bad. I don't know who designed this, but maybe they should be drug out back and beat with a stick or something. Nah. Anyway, I prefer to leave him largely untransformed, basically just standing him up and straightening out his limbs. This leaves him with a functional set of wings on his back, which can give the illusion of better flight than wings on the arms do. Of course, if Night Scream can fly with wings on his ankles, you know. let's see here. He's got, I don't know, maybe 15 points of articulation in this mode. More if you transform him correctly. He's got like 5 joints in each arm when transformed correctly. No real gimmicks in this mode. Robot mode's pretty boring, actually. Of the two, Quick Strike has the more entertaining robot mode and pretty nifty beast mode, but I think I like Geckobot's beast mode better. What have I been calling Geckobot Quick Strike all through the review? Well, I guess I'll find out when I listen to this in a minute. Anyway, I'm going to give Geckobot an overall rating of 7 out of 10. Beast mode's cool enough, but the robot mode kind of kills the toy. I'd also like to plug my website again this week. I've got a new Transformers fan art page opened up. Well, it'll be opened up by the time this hits the show, anyway. Basically, just stuff by me. I've also got an address for art submissions from anybody who wants to submit some art. I got a couple pieces available right now. I guess I just do more when I feel like it. Anyway, this is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron, rambling away and eating up time. Oh, I'd also like to endorse the Galvatron Cyclonus campaign for 2000. First the United States, and then the world.
And thanks, Goldie. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is Rattrap 007's Trivia.
Hello again, trans fans. This is Rattrap 007, back with more trivia. Last week's question was, name the three types of games Rattrap plays in Beast Wars. The answers are a Street Fighter-style fighting game, using Megatron and Primal as the fighters, a virtual 3D card game, and a Doom-style first-person shooter. There's only one person to get it, and it was Noah Connolly, I believe. There's one other winner, but I don't have his name. This week's question goes back to Generation 1, episode Prime Target, again. Whom is Prime referring to in this line?
Amazing. A booby trap that actually catches boobies.
That's it. That's the question. Please email all answers to me at rmichael424@aol.com.
That's RMICHEL 424. There's no A. This is Rat Trap 007, signing off.
Argon, report to me at once. Every time I look into a monitor, Brian, my circuits get a sizzling and my gristles get a bristling. And what did you say? I said every time I look into a monitor, oh, never mind, circuits get a sizzling.
And thank you, Rat Trap 007. That's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. Coming up next week, not sure what we'll have. Hopefully we'll have that kit bashing segment. Someone volunteered to help. So that's good. To be honest, I don't know. Looking at the clock right now, though, hopefully the show should be on time this week, anyway. And you'll have 168 hours to find out what will be on next week. So until then, this is Brian Kilby signing off.
Terrorist organization determined to rule the world.